Honorable Nzinga is here. I see Honorable Figile Kumalo and a number of other members. Honorable Minister and the Department of Transport, a very good morning to you all. There is a hand that is prohibiting me to start my meeting. I don't know what's happening. Mhlekas, is your hand up? Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, Chairperson, my hand is up, and it is not some form of protest as what you are alluding to. It is the appropriate moment in your meeting, Chairperson, to announce people that cannot attend and that are not available. Therefore, Chairperson, I would humbly submit the apology of my colleague, Honorable Mabena, if you would kindly note that. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much. I can see you don't want to waste time. I was still welcoming people. So feel free, everybody, to participate in this meeting. It's not going to be a very long meeting as it is. It has only three items. A briefing by the Minister of Transport on the festive season road accident fatalities, deliberations on the economic regulation of transport bill number one of 2020, and consideration of further written submissions on the proposed additional amendments to the bill, and we will then be dealing with the minutes of the 25th of January. I hope that is clear. Apologies, we have three apologies. We have an apology from Honorable Sithole, who's attending another portfolio committee. And we have an apology from Honorable Sithole, who is in transit to Cape Town. And we have a brand new apology from Honorable Mabena, who's not able to attend today. Those are the three apologies that have landed on my table. Otherwise, without a waste of time, let me check on the side of the ministry. The minister is here. I've not seen the deputy minister. Let me pause and get an explanation so that we don't just brush that issue. Is there any apology from the side of the deputy minister?
Yes, there is an apology. I thought she had written the apology herself, but she did apologize that she will join, but later. So I thought that there is a written apology and route to you, Chair. But the Deputy Minister did apologize to me that she will be late. I think it could just be an oversight, which must be corrected by the Chief of Staff and the Office of the DM to send the written apology to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. At this moment, I want to then give you an opportunity to address us. As I've said, the first item actually belongs to you. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. And the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, over the 2021 festive season, we saw some of the most heart-wrenching crashes, claiming many lives in a single crash. It is also important to appreciate that the festive season campaign is not implemented in a vacuum, but is firmly located within a broader safety campaign, 365 days action agenda. This is anchored on policy framework that is rooted in law and reinforced by social pact with monitoring, with motoring public and organs of civil society. Our arsenal of interventions aimed at delivering a reduction of 25% fatalities on our roads include policy and legislative interventions. The design of our road traffic management system is pretty much on the appreciation that while provincial roads, traffic and parking fall within the ambit of exclusive provincial legislative competence, maintaining national norms and standards is necessary to ensure effective performance by municipalities of their executive authority. This is equally true of maintaining economic unity of the Republic and arrest the negative impact of road fatalities and crashes on the economy. Chair, I am not going to deal with the statistics because we have a team from RTMC and DOT with me here. I think Deputy Director General Kavisa, I don't know the acting DGs here, and Caravale, Kevin Caravale from RTMC. I will then invite them, Chair, to present the breakdown of the statistics, the crashes, and all of that, and wish to pause there because it will otherwise become a repetition from what I will be doing and what they will be doing. And I think we'll lose the quality of the essence of what we presented to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Eben Caravale, or Kevin Caravale. Ndate Madi.
Magetse Eben Kimani.
Kutlega rishoyo alomre na mariki abona ki Kevin.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, good morning, esteemed members. Chair, I will call upon Caravale to come and address the committee. Also, Chair, I was writing actually a note for you. I need to introduce the team at the JCPS subcommittee, a class down. Once they've started presenting, I'll come back to this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. I'll just share my screen with the presentation.
I must tell you that I like your name or your surname, Caravale.
Caravale 2.6, Chair.
Karakar. Thank you very much. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the presentation will focus on the interventions that were implemented during the festive season. It will give a context of the vehicle and driver population and then focus on the statistics as was recorded over the past festive season. Chair, in terms of the road safety interventions, we normally do a collaboration with all our partners in the provinces and local authorities together with external stakeholders from industry, where we focus our efforts on the different road user groups. So in the period December to January, our road user groups that we focused on were drivers, passengers and pedestrians, and we had directed interventions where we focused on fatigue, drunk driving, distracted driving, dangerous driving for drivers, the usage of seat belts and child restraints for passengers, as well as in, looking at the visibility, drunk walking and jaywalking when we deal with pedestrians. We also have, as part of the overall 365 campaign, a focus on speed reduction, where we want to reduce the speed, particularly in urban areas where there's a high conflict between vulnerable road users, being cyclists, pedestrians as well as motor vehicles. So we're looking at reducing the speed in school zones and areas where there's a high concentration of vulnerable road users. This is part of the second decade of action to deal with road safety. So there is a program underway to look at that. We also focus on the use of restraints through heightened awareness. We focus on pedestrian safety, again, through education and activations within hazardous locations. And then one of our major contributing factors, of course, is drunk driving. And here we deal with it through collaboration with the private sector industry bodies, where we deal with the consequences of drunk driving as well as enforcement in this space. So the festive season was launched in Bloemfontein, and we had a number of engagements with communities and roadblocks in the area. And thereafter, we then started with our targeted campaign. So just a couple of highlights. In the Trans-Kalahari corridor, we did a Thank a Driver campaign. This was a campaign that involved representation from Namibia, our other road safety or road entities, as well as the provincial and local authorities, and from the private sector, we involved Coca-Cola in this initiative. We also did a road safety campaign, which was led by the minister at Maubane on N1. This was a focus on driver fitness and roadworthiness of vehicles. There was an operation on the 22nd of December in Soshanguve, where we focused on roadworthiness of vehicles and driver fitness. And we also targeted pedestrians at the nearby mall, this being one of the areas that's got a high concentration of pedestrian fatalities. The partnership with the private sector involves education through advertisements, billboards, and targeted interventions. We did some activations with our local authorities. We also then received a donation of vehicles to be used for our alcohol evidence center. And this is to assist our law enforcement capability. And then we had various driver education initiatives throughout the provinces. The total number of road safety activities conducted during the period was 320, with the majority of these happening in the coastal areas, the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Western Cape. We know that there's a high number of people who travel from our central provinces to the coastal provinces during this period. So the focus was on the coastal provinces in terms of our activities. The types of interventions that were conducted, we had specific attention on long distance taxis. We had awareness interventions at various fuel stations along the major routes. We did fatigue management at our roadblocks. We had weighbridge interventions directed at the freight industry. We had roadside interventions within the hazardous location areas. And there were various exhibitions and roadblocks and engagements with faith-based gatherings during this period. And at clinics as well, where we know a number of our drivers do go for their assessments. And we targeted our communities through radio and TV commercials that promoted road safety during this period. Just an observation that during this period, we were under alert level one, adjusted alert level one, where there was no midnight curfew after the 30th of December. Whereas in the previous year, we had alert level three. And this obviously impacted on the number of people that were on the road. And where there's more vehicles on the road and more road users, there's an increased number of contact points where they do come into contact, and this leads to an increase in the number of crashes. On our law enforcement interventions, yeah, we had a number of interventions. I think the major thing here was that we had a number of vehicles stopped during this period increase based on the previous year. and this is due to the increased volume of vehicles on the roads. We also had a significant increase in the number of arrests, as well as the number of notices that were issued during this period. The provinces with the highest number of vehicles stopped was Limpopo, KZN, and Western Cape. Other provinces had a significant number of vehicles that were also stopped in the Eastern Cape. But this was more or less the trend. It's more or less similar to last year. The number of notices issued, also Gauteng had the highest number of notices issued, followed by Western Cape and Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape. Those are the provinces that had the highest number of notices that were issued. The highest number of vehicles that were discontinued, those notices, NTP issued 1,500, which is the RTMC's National Traffic Police, followed by Mpumalanga, Western Cape, and Gauteng. The highest number of vehicles impounded was in Mpumalanga, almost 2,352, followed by KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and then Western Cape. Our top five offenses in the period, speed being one of the highest, followed by driving without fastening a seatbelt, driving without licenses, unlicensed vehicles, as well as worn out tires. And most of these do contribute, when we get to the fatal crashes, you will see them as contributing factors. The arrests that were executed during this period, the highest number was for drunk driving, followed by warrants of arrest for outstanding fines that were executed, and then a high number of vehicles were also, or drivers were also arrested for operating without operating licenses. So that those are public transport vehicles that did not have operating licenses. In terms of the highlights, or let's rather call them lowlights, for the highest speed arrests, in Limpopo, a vehicle was trapped at 225 kilometers per hour. The driver was arrested on the 16th of December on the N1. Bail was granted at 3,500 in that case. The highest alcohol arrest was in Johannesburg, 2.43 milligrams per 100 milliliters. This was a male. There's no indication whether bail was granted or not in this case. In terms of the observations from the period, we do identify that the traveling pattern has changed dramatically. So the road users would use alternative routes, particularly when they know their operations taking place in the major routes. Also, the influence of the alert level one meant that the traveling times were also affected. We also had an impact in terms of the weather conditions, which had played a role where operations that were planned had to be canceled due to the severe weather conditions. And that resulted in us taking an approach of doing more visible patrolling. And this obviously did have an impact in terms of being able to execute the enforcement plans. We do propose going forward that we also align the KPIs of our national police, provincial traffic, as well as local authorities with a focus on law enforcement and implementation of the National Traffic Code. We do also have an appreciation that sometimes our planning is done very well, but the operations aren't well supervised or monitored, and this leads to some gaps in terms of the implementation thereof. And then we also want to focus going forward on moving violations, as this has got a big impact in terms of the types of fatal crashes that we do see on our roads. Just in terms of the vehicle and driver population, the annual increase from the previous year up until the 31st of December 2021 was 2.04%. This is a more or less standard annual increase in terms of the vehicle population. And Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape do account for the highest number of vehicles in the country. The month-on-month changes, normally between April and July, and then from September to December, we do see an increase in the number of vehicles that are sold in the country. So that's where we see the fluctuation in the vehicle population. This is just another representation of the same graph. On the driver population, there was an increase in terms of the number of learner licenses issued, as well as driving licenses and professional driving permits to new drivers year on year compared to the previous year. So we get into the statistics. We did see significantly larger portion of the country, particularly the eastern half of the country and central, having more rainfall than the year before. And this does have an impact in terms of the road conditions, and this is a contributing factor for fatal crashes annually. That was for December, and for January, we also saw in some areas it was a bit more wetter than the rest, particularly the central part of the country compared to the previous year. Chair, we report on fatal crashes as well as fatalities. The reason for that is when we do have major crashes, it does distort the picture if one only focuses on the fatalities. So we do focus a lot on fatal crashes. The comparison that we are doing throughout is a dual comparison. We do compare 2021-2022 with 2019-2020, which was the last normal year before COVID. And then we also do a comparison with the previous year to show the year-on-year increase. So this is a breakdown of the fatal crashes per province, the majority being in Gauteng, KZN, as well as in Western Cape and Eastern Cape for the last festive season. If one looks at the distribution per day of the week, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday is again our highest number of fatal crashes. It's important to note here, Chair, that even in our normal years and our COVID years, the trend is more or less the same. The weekend having the highest number of fatal crashes. And this is even the same if one looks at the longer period, like our annual analysis and so on. The weekend is normally the time when most crashes occur. Time of day, most crashes occur between 6 o'clock at midnight. And again, this is evidence that the trend is the same, whether it be a normal year, a COVID year, or the one we had last year, which was very close to normal, the trend still stays the same in terms of the time of day when the crashes do occur. In terms of the crash types, there's a percentage or 7 percentage point increase with pedestrian crashes based on the previous year, but significantly almost a 14% percentage point increase on single vehicles compared to the previous year. Now that is significant because you'll see in the major contributing factors that human behavior is one of the biggest contributors to our fatal crashes. In terms of vehicle types, private vehicles or light motor vehicles and light delivery vehicles still make up the highest percentage of vehicles that are involved in the crashes. The other ones are more or less the same compared to the previous years. The contribution of human factors, as we've indicated, 79% of that, of the crashes involve some kind of human error. It's 11% of those fatal crashes was as a result of road or environmental factors, and 10% as a result of vehicle factors. Within those factors, the major contributing, if one looks at the human factors, speed too high for circumstances. So 24% of the crashes involved excessive speeding. 23% of the crashes involved jaywalking pedestrians. 5% overtaking on a barrier line, as well as turning in front of oncoming traffic, so making a U-turn in front of the oncoming traffic. From a road and environmental point of view, the wet services was one of the highest contributors in terms of that, as well as visibility. Either it was poor or there was environmental conditions such as smoke or rain or fog that contributed to the road crash at that point. In terms of fatalities, Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, Western Cape, Eastern Cape have got the highest percentage for the year for the period under review. And if one looks at the breakdown, the pedestrians decreased by about 10 percentage points. However, our passengers increased significantly by about 6 percentage points compared to the previous year. And we do see quite a high number of our major crashes, which involves a large number of passengers in those crashes, did increase significantly on year, and we'll get to that later in the slide. The distribution of female versus male, more or less the same over the year, 68% of males, 27% are female. And this also is representative when looks at the driver population, more or less the same. So if one looks at our targets that we set, the target that we set for fatal crashes was set at a 10% reduction for this festive season compared to the last festive season. And unfortunately, we did not meet the target. We had a 5.6% increase. But we do note that the previous year was an abnormal year compared to this year. If one compares it with the 2019-2020 year, we actually had a decrease of 4.9%. So those are between the two normal years. Although some provinces did have significant increases, Western Cape, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng, but other provinces did reduce significantly compared to their 2019-2020 performance. This is just a graphical representation of that of the fatal crashes year on year, where Western Cape, Gauteng have got significant increases, as well as Northern Cape on the previous year. In terms of fatalities, our target was 10%. We did increase by 14% year on year. But again, if one then compares to the previous year, the increase is only 4.3% on our last normal year. And significantly, when it comes to fatalities, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Western Cape had a high increase compared to the 2019-2020 year. Again, this is just a graphical representation of that comparison between 2021-22 and 2020-2021. Western Cape showing a significant increase, as well as Northern Cape year on year, and Mpumalanga as well. The overall performance, Eastern Cape did the best with a 13% decrease in fatal crashes and 7% decrease in fatalities. Northern Cape, unfortunately, because of their low base, with an increase in major crashes, they do show quite a significant increase year on year from 2020-2021 to 2021-2022. So we're making a special emphasis on major crashes. There was a significant increase in the number of major crashes compared to previous years. In 2021-2022, we had 34 major crashes, whereas in 2019-2020, only 11, and even in the abnormal year, which was the last year, it was 13. If you look at the fatalities as well, 223 compared to 66 and 72 respectively. So this represents a 210% increase from the previous year on fatalities and 162% increase on the fatal crashes from the previous year. Most of the fatal crashes occurred in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. The trend on the major crashes is more or less the same, except that Thursday comes into the picture now. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday are the major or the days that the major crashes occur the most. And the time of day is slightly earlier, so from about 5 o'clock up until 10 o'clock, that's when we see the majority of the major crashes happening. The major crash types, head-on, is a significant contributor to the major crash fatalities. And the types of vehicles involved would be light motor vehicles, your light delivery vehicles and minibuses, followed by trucks. Those are the top four vehicles that are involved in the major crashes. The number of fatalities, Western Cape 34, Eastern Cape 35, Mpumalanga 35, and Limpopo 44. And you can see that the number of fatalities increases from Thursday onwards, as we had mentioned, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's just the distribution per day of the fatalities. The major routes that are involved is the R61 in the Eastern Cape, the R38 in Mpumalanga, the N1 in Limpopo, as well as the N1 in the Western Cape are the major routes. And with the breakdown of the fatalities, Limpopo N133, Western Cape N123, Eastern Cape R6119, Free State 14 on the R57, and Mpumalanga on the R3812. Chair, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Karakara, thank you very much. That's the presentation, honorable members. I know that the members will not leave this presentation without giving proof that they have read it, they have understood it, and they want to get some clarity, questions, and comments that should not be taken as a negative, because that is our work as this portfolio committee. Thank you very much for the presentation, Kevin. I can already see two hands that are going to do exactly what I've said. I have now four hands, that is Honorable Hunsinger, followed by Honorable McDonald, followed by Honorable Peter May. And of course, the last hand will be from Jambas. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department and specifically RTMC for the presentation. I also want to acknowledge Minister Mbalula at this presentation. Let me from the onset say that it is extremely encouraging to have a presentation where a submission is made, where data has been collected and a statistical overview is given of what was experienced. Minister, I think the challenge is now to convert the data, not just in terms of seeing it as statistics, but to convert this into a strategy that extends to in fact be a 365 campaign and not just a logo or a slogan. I do appreciate the fact that the focus areas were speed reduction, seatbelt, drunk driving, and pedestrian safety. But there's definitely more to a vision for road safety than simply something which is driven on these four or five law enforcement objectives. In terms of the presentation, more specifically, Chairperson, I don't know whether you received the presentation because you alluded to us having studied this. You might have received it, Chairperson, but in fact, we haven't. And I must say, Chairperson, it is quite difficult to interpret these slides at the speed at which it is presented. I think it is an extremely important topic. I think it is extremely important for us to at least receive this before the time so that we can really study this and add value to a session like this. Sadly, the value which we can add, since we only had to catch some elements of the presentation here and there, is therefore limited. But I've made a note or two, and I would like to just get some clarity on that. On your slide 23, there was a bullet point 5, which referred to supervision and monitoring, which needed to be improved. Could you please tell us whose responsibility this exactly is, and in what way this would lead to improvement, as you suggested? On slide 34, there was an indication that the Eastern Cape had a drop in occurrences. Could you please expand on possible reasons for this, since one could then definitely learn from that just in terms of a case study? On your slide 40, you remarked that the reason for that particular increase was that the speed was too high for the conditions or the circumstances. If you could just expand on that observation. And on slide 45, you mentioned a objective of a reduction of 10% as a target setting. In relation to the bigger volume of carriage, for instance, in buses or a couple of taxis, or on a particular route because of a particular event that happens, certainly, you know, 10% is so marginal in terms of the volume of potential deaths that I'm sort of hesitant to accept that as a good criteria. In general, I would like to ask the department to react to experiences that we've gathered now in the last couple of years, where RTMC has really impressed with the volume and specifics around data, something we haven't seen before. But then more importantly, to the minister, how this is carried forward in a proper road safety program, and whether we have also learned something or attempted to learn something from Swedish experience, for instance, with their program Vision Zero, where the focus has shifted to preventability and to be proactive to prevent injuries and deaths by designing transportation systems in a way that collisions won't result in fatal or serious injury. Chairperson, this is a very important topic. I would like this not to be handled in such a hasteful manner, and that we definitely have a follow-up, especially after we've had exposure to the slides, so that we can really study them and contribute in a more meaningful way than in this hasteful manner which this is handled this morning. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I lower my hand, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Greetings to the Minister, Deputy Minister, that I think she's arrived. I don't know if she has arrived yet. The Acting DG, Kevin Caravala. And thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I just want to add some things. I want to highlight some
issues. Honorable McDonald, Mr. Kevin Caravala is from RTMC. Mr. Madia is still acting DG, according to the information that is.
Chairperson, that's what I said. Chairperson, I said to the acting DG and to.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Caravala.
Thank you very much.
From the RTMC for his presentation. Chairperson, I would, in the Western Cape, Chairperson, there was 136 minibus taxis impounded for not having operating licenses. And this takes me to the slide on under arrests. And there was 723 countrywide arrests for operators using vehicles without operating licenses. I would like to have more clarity on that, Chairperson, because firstly, a vehicle can't be financed without an operating license. Secondly, are these habitual offenders? Are these people that are continuously, then we must make it difficult for them to use their vehicles on the roads, Chairperson, because those are the type of infringements that kill people, Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, I've got a serious problem with the statistics. In 2021, there was not a single arrest for overloading, Chairperson. And Chairperson, I'm sorry, but that's BS statistics. And only 21 trucks, 21 goods arrests for overloading. Chairperson, it's impossible. I drive the roads at least 30 times a year between Cape Town and Bloemfontein, and I can tell you, Chairperson, the reason why there's so few arrests is because the weigh bridges are not operating. People are doing whatever they do feel like. Chairperson, I want to highlight an accident in Lanesburg on the 1st of January 2022. I think it was the 1st of January 2022, early January 2022, where six people died in a minibus taxi accident in Lanesburg. The driver survived. The people in that vehicle died because the gross weight of the vehicle was exceeded, because it had a trailer on the back and the passengers in the front got crushed in the first and second rows, because firstly, there's no legislation for seatbelts in minibus taxis, firstly. Secondly, there's absolutely no weight checking on minibus taxis. The acting DG knows that I've written him a letter and I've asked for some statistics, because it's a problem. You look at videos of the border during the festive season, and you see each and every taxi leaving the country that's standing in the queue there has got a trailer, and that is so overloaded that the wheels are buckling, but there's no arrests and no fines and no infringements, and it just happens as if it's the norm. Chairperson, they can't have that as a norm. Chairperson, then in Liuchamka, in Lanesburg, Liuchamka between Beaufort West and Lanesburg, there's two bottle stores at the truck stop. Two. They their whole business is based on selling to truck drivers. Chairperson, I mean, we need to draw a line somewhere. We need to, there needs to be a line in the sand. We can't continue like this. I mean, it's unbelievable that we allow things like that, Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, pedestrians, huge problem. We need to make pedestrians more visible at night. We have got serious challenges in this country, and people, because of the informal settlements, because of apartheid spatial development, are situated next to highways, and there is not enough light, and pedestrians get killed. Chairperson, we need to investigate how to make pedestrians more visible, and this will clamp down on a lot of the fatalities over the festive season, because people inadvertently, because they can't see where they are walking and where cars can't see them, are being killed, and that's not right, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to know how many minibus taxis in South Africa during the festive season were given a citation or a fine or arrest for overloading, Chairperson, because those are the ones that are killing the ordinary black people in South Africa. And I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. What is the meaning of BS?
I withdraw that, Chairperson. I withdraw that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Honorable Peter May.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I know drunken drive is a very serious crime, but we can't allow the destruction of roads caused by potholes. We must repair it as soon as possible when it is the size of a soccer ball. According to a road engineer, Mr. Andrew Lartz, it can cost between 2,000 and 3,000 rand per square meter. So repair it as soon as possible. I received also complaints about zinc holes over the last 4 weeks. I received complaints from the people who make use of the R50, that's between Pretoria and Babsfontein. There is a zinc hole on the R50, so motorists are forced to take an alternative route and make use of the R25. It's extra cost, and we all know petrol is very expensive. When is the department going to fix it? There is also a zinc hole in the road between Clarence and Forisburg. It happened on the 9th of January, and the road was closed on the 2nd of February 22. It is about 200 meters long. We all know the East Free State is well known for tourists, so it is important to fix, to repair it as soon as possible. But zinc holes is a different, but I cannot see why we can't fix potholes quickly. In many cases, potholes are the cause of accidents. I have had a wonderful experience on the R62, the alternative route for the N2. I stopped at two persons, Ian Plaikis and Zubrail Newton, busy repairing potholes. I thanked them, and then they gave me a cell number and requested me to phone them if I see any potholes. It is so important to report potholes as soon as possible, but I think one of the problems in South Africa is people don't know who to contact when they see a pothole. Really, I think we must do something more about potholes. It is so important, and I would like to thank the department. I always say the best roads in South Africa is the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Peter May. I'm sure some honorable member will contest that view. The best roads in the country, Eastern Cape and Western Cape. Let's
take... Not the Free State, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Let's take Ujamba, sir. And see
thank you very much.
Wearing a
thank
beautiful
you very much. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mangete.
Yes, Jambas.
Morning, Jolinkomo, Nebanja, Minister, and the whole congregation. Honorable colleagues, everyone who's on the platform, and fellow South Africans. Thank you for the presentation. Chair, I think I have said this before, but maybe we need to take some stronger position in terms of trying to persuade or influence the ministry and the department in certain things. Number one, I have raised through this committee the effectiveness of the National Traffic Police. I am convinced that there is no difference that the National Traffic Police is making in the reduction of accidents. Why am I saying so? Because it is a provincial, in the main, a provincial and a local sphere of government responsibility. The RTMC, in my view, has to set standards, has to monitor, has to provide these people with the data to improve their enforcement and put measures, allow them to do what their responsibility is. So I would like going forward, and I have asked this before, but unfortunately it has not come forth. Can we have a breakdown of the effectiveness of the National Traffic Police? I'm saying this, Chair, because in many instances, in my view, it's a competition. And in many instances, we have been receiving complaints from law enforcers in these other spheres of government of their perceived interference by the National Traffic Police. I don't think it's interference. I think there's legislation that put them in place, but I think it was not necessary. If you go back and understand when the NTP was started, what was the intention, and when the relationship with SANRAL didn't go well, there was a diversion, and then that is what we find. Secondly, Chair, if you look at the very well presented statistics by Kevin there, you can go back to 1998 if you want to. You will find exactly the same trends, exactly. If you look at human factor as a major contributing factor to accidents, or as Kevin calls them, crashes, I call them accidents, one will see that that trend is the same, especially if you look at percentage. What is not coming out, and that is what we would humbly request through you, Minister, that we could get, how are we intervening in these areas? We are always told it's a human factor, it's speed, but again, you don't seem to get any cutting edge technology that is trying to address that. My colleague, Honorable Hun Singha, mentioned Sweden. I've had the unfortunate situation that I've been there. I've seen what they've done. In terms of looking at resolving the actual problem, not the symptoms of the problem. In my view, in my humble considered view, that is what the RTMC should be doing. Looking at these cutting edge technologies, making sure that these provinces and municipalities are implementing them. Because as I say, again, if you look at the trends percentage wise, go back to 1998, you ask yourself, why was their slogan speed kills that was put across the roads, arrive alive banners? It was purely because speed then was seen as a factor. The question should be to the RTMC, what have you done to put measures that make sure that speed? We know technology is there. I'm not the one to preach what are the things that could be done. Now, again, if you look at R61, I think on the last second last slide, Kevin there, I'm sure you put this slide at 2 a.m. this morning. I see the Western Cape, that's where the R61 is, and the Eastern Cape, that's where the N1 is. If you could just correct that, I'm sure it was just a very, very minor issue there and so forth. Lastly, Chair, I would like to know if any, I might have missed it, the presentation went a bit fast, fines or citations or notices issued for unlicensed drivers during the same period. Thank you very much, Chair. I appreciate it. Thank you.
How about Chambers? And the Bonang Utintin Tam, when I'm signed, you go to a gloomy leg and fundis. Agunang. Thank you. Honorable Nolchungu, Nontando.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also greet the minister, the department, members of the Department of Transport, my colleagues, and say good morning to you this morning. Let me also welcome the presentation and thank the department for being honest. You know, one statement that actually impressed me was the fact that they acknowledge that there are good plans, but monitoring, it's not being done. I think it's something that's happening throughout the government departments where we've got beautiful plans, but implementation and monitoring are the challenges. The second thing is, you know, between lane spec up to Aberdeen, there are those speed cameras. I want to check if those speed cameras are working, because I've traveled there twice during this festive season, and I deliberately went over 120 to 150 to see if I'm going to get a ticket. No, that was before the festive season, and I have not received a ticket. So my question is, are those cameras working? And that, I think that's about it. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nolu Chungu. I'm sure they are still processing your tickets. You'll soon find them. But the question has been posed and it will be answered. As you lower your hand, Menolu no Ndando Nolu Chungu. And that what Shabangwana, Honorable Shabangu Ngwane.
Mangete, our chairperson, let me also join my colleagues to welcome the presentation and also welcome the minister for being always present. The causes of accidents and fatalities on our roads, mostly, chairperson, I think it's because of potholes in almost all our roads in South Africa, excluding only the toll roads. Then the question is, what can be the remedy to potholes? I think the remedy can be provinces with potholes on their roads will be fined. And where there are persistence with regard to potholes, the Department of Transport should intervene and close the potholes. And thereafter, for that they've done, that they have done. That is a brotherly advice. Provincial police are doing absolutely nothing with regard to law enforcement. What they do is to take the bribery from the lawbreakers and go away with the money without persecuting the lawbreakers. Then finally, the road signs. There are no more road signs visible on our roads, especially in the Free State. What has gone wrong, chairperson? Or are we not having funds? Or is it through negligence that the road signs are no more visible on our roads? I hope it can be better if we can put them back so that people should be aware of potholes, steep slopes, and so forth and so forth. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Siyabonga Ngwane. Honorable Hunsinger,
it's 10 hours.
You want to have a second bite? Let's allow you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, a very short one. I was just wondering, Chairperson, just about the speed cameras and that, whether when MPs test speed cameras, whether this is viewed as oversight, Chairperson, or a failure to notice something. Can you just give us clarity on that, please, Chairperson? Thank you.
Uh, Thank you, Honorable Member Hunsinger. The acting DG has requested to be released, as you have yet. I don't know whether is he back from the other commitment that he said he was going to address. Ntate Madia, are you back? In the absence of him, it will only be fair for me to go back to Kevin. Kevin, can you please try and cover the concerns? And you are free to acknowledge the compliments. They were there, I think a number of them. And tell us, how are you going to address the challenges that are within your range as the entity? And the department will also take questions that are directed to the department, as I can see that some of the questions are not related to the entity, but the department will have to deal with. Before you get in, let me acknowledge that the Deputy Minister has joined us. I can see. Deputy Minister, thank you very much. We did receive your apology earlier on that you'll be a bit late. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Kevin?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, we acknowledge the compliments, and of course we will take the constructive criticism on some of the aspects of the presentation. On the questions on the supervision and monitoring, yes, the supervision and monitoring we're referring to is that of the supervisors of the traffic officers, so your senior SUPs and so on, where the as we had said, the plan was in place, the operations are executed. But at some point, we do find that at the roadblocks and so on, in fact, one of them where we were all present on the N1, officers start to move away from their responsibilities and they focus on other areas. And that is a problem. So it's something that we are working with to tighten up the execution at our operations by focusing on the supervision and the monitoring of these operations to ensure they get executed as planned, because a lot of thought goes into the planning of where these operations should take place based on information from previous years and the analysis of the trends that indicates we should perhaps, you know, focus on passengers in a specific area or do something on overload in the area. But if there's no supervision during the execution of that, it then derails all of the plans around that. So that's the emphasis that we've made on that. That for future planning, we will focus on that. On slide 34, Chair, that was referred to by Honorable Hunsinger, the reduction by the Eastern Cape, Chair. It's a number of factors, and we do know that the Eastern Cape provincial traffic, when they execute their planning for festive and Easter operations, they do involve all of the areas. So it's law enforcement, the engineering component, as well as the road safety component. And they do focus on the hazardous locations in the province. And it seems to be bearing fruit. We are invited annually to their planning sessions where we give them insights from a data point of view. And in terms of other plans that we have in terms of the road safety strategy, and they do have a very good leadership under the chief there, Mr. Mpli, who brings together all of the elements of road safety, as I mentioned, enforcement, engineering, as well as the education team. And their plans are well derived around those areas to make sure they've got a holistic approach. That, in my opinion, Chair, is one of the major contributing factors to the reduction that we have seen. And it's been a steady reduction over the last couple of years for the Eastern Cape. Chair, on slide 40, with regard to the speed that is too high for circumstances, that refers to the case where in the post-crash investigation, we find that the speed of the driver was too high. Either it was very high over the indicated speed limit for that road, or the design of the road. For example, if you've got a hairpin bend, you know, the person is the driving speed was too high, or if it's a normal road, it was excessive speeding over the indicated speed limit, which was determined for that stretch of road. So that's where we've got the indication that the speed was too high for the circumstances. At some point, it's difficult to do the investigation when we look at road surfaces, but that's something that we are looking at, is to expand our investigation, because we do find that sometimes, given the road conditions, the time of day, as well as the weather conditions, the speed effect is also fluctuates, and we have to take a look at that. On the question on the overloading by Honorable McDonald, yes, some of the impoundments are as a result of the overloading, which is more on the good side. But it is correct that what was reported in terms of overloading for passengers was zero. I will definitely go back to the law enforcement colleagues, and this was part of the preliminary statistics that we did get, and it's something that we will have to look at and make sure that we've got accurate figures. I do agree that if one even looks at the major crashes that have occurred, a lot of the vehicles, particularly the public transport vehicles, had more passengers in them than they should have had, and that does contribute, of course, to the stability of the vehicle. Then I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Dabison de Bele, to deal with some of the questions which are related to the road safety aspect. Thank you, Chair.
Kevin, thank you. Did you answer the question related to our cameras?
Sorry, Chair. Yes, Chair. On the cameras on the N1 in the Laingsburg area, those cameras are under the control of the Western Cape Provincial Department of Transport. It is my understanding that stretch of road is an average speed over distance enforcement. So it might be, I'm not saying it is, it might be that when the member was speeding, when they did the average speed calculation, it was still within the accepted speed limit, and therefore a fine was not issued, but we will verify with the colleagues in that area in the Western Cape whether those cameras are active. I do know that they did report quite a number of tickets that were issued on a weekly basis during the festive season for speeding. So I will just verify with them. But I think it's the reason why the fine was not issued was it's an average speed of a distance. So over the complete stretch of road, they calculate your average speed, not necessarily the speed you were doing when you passed the camera. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's welcome your colleague.
Thank you very much, Mangetha. Good morning to you, Chairperson. Good morning to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the members. I think I'm going to touch on the key element of the Vision Zero and why you are not adopting it.
Sir, what is your name again?
Apologies. My name is Thabiso Ndebele, the Road Safety Executive at the RTMC.
Babundebele, are you in transit?
No, I'm not. I'm not in transit. I'm stationary.
Oh, you're stationary. I just wanted to make sure, as we speak about road fatalities, we don't cause one. You can go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. So let me start with the first one. In terms of the focus areas in our role as the RTMC, we do engage with the provinces, and prior to each financial year, to each peak volume period, we advise them on the key focus areas So in this case, Mr. Caravalla did indicate that there were four key areas, including the pedestrian safety, including the reduction of speed. And we're happy to say, even if we didn't have COVID-19 in 2019, 2020, and compared to the last festive season, the pedestrian fatalities dropped by like 84 or 86 in terms of the absolute number. So we do engage the provinces, but the uniqueness of this engagement is that what works for KZN might not necessarily work for Northwest. So we do take that into account. The more important thing, I guess, I have to stress at this hour is that South African society is perhaps not the most compliant in the world. And we are dealing with that in the larger context. So when you think of road safety, as we see people having kids in between the seats, as we see unbuckled passengers, these are all the programs that we are trying to implement, which are evidence-based, as the acting DG has mentioned. So it will take us a while for us to get to that compliant Vision Zero Sweden type of operation, but all our programs going forward are aligned to that, to say we need to take into account the circumstances of which our road users are faced at. So a good example which was mentioned earlier was the mass rooming of the informal settlement. So it means that we really have to engage our stakeholders, the Department of Housing, for example, about the town planning, because once you put a clinic on one side of the freeway and a school on the other side, people won't use that pedestrian bridge, but they will force to cross the freeway. So these are the long-term issues that we are beginning to deal with. On some of the key elements, maybe linked to the RTMC, the member did indicate that the role of the RTMC is really to provide those insights and intervene where it is necessary. And I think we are doing that. Of course, with more manpower, we could do more, but it is also, as highlighted perhaps in the lack of monitoring of the performance, it is also engaging and educating our local partners, which is the provincial government. They are the implementing arm in whatever plans that we do have. So from that perspective, I do think that we have some work around engagement and education at a provincial and a local government, which is something that we have begun to undertake. But more importantly, our approach needs to be different, because we cannot do the same thing year after year and expect a different result. What does this mean? It means that at some point, for example, the introduction of road safety education into the school curriculum, it's something that has to be implemented in full force. There are elements of it, but we need to go big. In terms of protecting the vulnerable user, the future road design need to take into account that South Africans are walkers. We don't have money for transport. And whenever we build a bridge, whenever we construct a new road, we have to take those vulnerable users into account. That's all I can add, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Babu Ndebele. Indeed, I can see you are stationary. Any other take up from the department side? Anyone who wants to deal with the issues that were raised by Honorable Pete May? And Datema Kosin, I think, and other honorable members that has not been answered. Department? Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will request Babu Hlabisa, because I missed those questions while I was still with the subcommittee of DEFCOM. I'll request Babu Hlabisa, DDG Roads, to respond to those questions. Thank you.
Babuhlabisa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Babumangethe siyabonga. Thank you very much, Acting DG, Minister, Deputy Minister and colleagues. I think the one that was raised was with regards to the maintenance of roads, particularly focusing on the matters of potholes and also the road furniture insofar as the signs are concerned and the line marking are concerned, as well as the other issues, which we call it the road furniture, making the road safe. So those matters are handled by our counterparts at the provincial level. Chairperson, you'll know that we do transfers as a transferring authority to the provinces, and we do the oversight on those kind of transfers that we have done to all the provinces, all nine provinces. What we do, our technical teams do go to the various provinces to verify and does the oversight of the transfers amount insofar as they are business plans are concerned, which we call them the B5 forms, where the list of projects are being handed to the provinces. We do critique and verify them. And it's not all of them that the budgets that we give them do address all the challenges that they have. But we do the monitoring on the projects that are being submitted to us in the form of the business plan. That's what we do. But we do emphasize to them that fixing of potholes is a priority. Like our Minister Mbalula has clearly said that this money must fix potholes, must do fixing of potholes and also repair the structures. As you can see, you could see what has been happening across the country in terms of people washed away with insofar as the low-level crossings are concerned. So these are the priorities that we are working very closely in this turnaround plan with the provinces to firm up those kind of critical priorities into their business plan. That is what we are doing. So I think insofar as that is concerned, I want to believe and want to believe that yes, indeed, the provinces are trying their level best to fix those potholes. But you see, with the latest heavy floods and very, very heavy floods across South Africa, that has been very difficult to catch up with the development of the potholes on our road network. So, but as soon as the weather tries to be, kind enough, our forces out there, our teams are out there, but partnership with the province, because we don't literally fix the potholes ourselves at the Department of Transport nationally. We do the oversight, but our teams and working with the provinces are doing exactly that. It's a different story, Honorable Mangete, with the municipalities, where you see maybe in some towns, like when you travel through, through MLO in the middle there, you standard town, you see that those streets in the middle of the town are quite severe, very severe, and you could see that they are very, very deep potholes. So what we are saying moving forward is that the municipalities need to forge partnerships with our agents, at least just to our agency, SANRAL, in making sure that they do beef up the capacity in those levels. Because we are aware that at a municipal level, they don't have the technical skills. They can't keep engineers. Some of them really, they are struggling to maintain their streets. So we are saying they must forge those partnerships so that, SANRAL can give a hand, but not taking over their roads, but to make sure that their road network is being maintained to an acceptable standard, and also transferring of skills to those municipalities, including the provinces, in fact, Chairperson. The provinces also are running out of the requisite skills to fix potholes, to maintain roads, and so forth. So, but that partnership is being forged as we speak. Minister has given us a go-ahead to look into that, to ask to get SANRAL to be more involved at a provincial level in the fixing of the road network and repairs. So that is where we are. I just wanted to cover that so that we are all on the same page as to what the department is doing under this other stewardship of our minister. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Babuhlabisa. Thank you very much, Babu Umadi. Acting DG.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. That was our contribution as a Department of Transport, unless Minister, through your chair, wants to have a bite. Thank you. I'm not delegating upwards.
I am requesting to address you as a chair with all due respect, because you are not here.
Yes.
There was some clear contributions by the members of this portfolio committee. One issue that was raised and raised sharply is that our roads are full of potholes. I'm clear on that one. And the question was that, what is the department doing to deal with that problem of potholes? One member, to be specific, Honorable Peter May, raises an issue that as he was traveling, he came across ordinary citizens busy on our roads fixing potholes. He thanked them and he took their numbers so that they can engage on fixing our potholes. Honorable Makosini raises this issue and raises the issue of signage on our road, lack of signage on our road. And indirectly, he says, because we now have more potholes, we must have more signages that directs drivers that our roads are in shambles. I think that's the issue. I thought we'll have a program, not a story. We do not want to listen to a beautiful story of transfers to the provinces and municipalities. As you transfer the money to the provinces and everywhere, the responsibility to oversee that the money you have transferred is doing its job, it lies with you. You are not exonerated from that responsibility. I think we may want to call the provinces, but it shouldn't be like that if we're working in tandem and cooperating. You must tell us, for the first time on my side also, after a very long time, the main street in Pretoria has a big pothole, just Pretoria, the main street. Honorable Ramatwa had sent me, and I will share with you, Acting DG, a picture of Sunral, a car belonging to Sunral with the driver having gone out and pouring sand on the pothole in Limpopo. This, for me, is a problem that needs to be fixed. And I really want to say, with all the humility that we have as a committee, can we do more than telling a story that the transfer has gone, but potholes are still there, people's cars are damaged, and all these things, we get accident because of those potholes. So for me, it's a very serious issue that I think if the department was to acknowledge and say, we'll go back and check and come back as to how we deal with this issue, we would appreciate that kind of a reply, because as a committee, we would want to put our finger on that issue because we feel strong about it, as members have said. Maybe let me just say this before the minister comes in, so that after you have said what you are going to say, you can all rep. The members are also saying, as I listened to them, and this was from Honorable Hun Singer, stats are here, the information is here from the Road Traffic Management Corporation. We acknowledge and are happy about that. Is there a concerted effort of a program that will be running 365 days compared to the visibility that we normally see in Easter holidays or festive season? In essence, the committee is saying, if we are to deal with the reduction of fatalities on our roads, this program should not be an ad hoc program. Are we able to come up with such a program, or will the committee be asking too much? I thought I should pause there, and if I was not clear, I am happy to clarify any point. But at this point, without really provoking any hands, I want to go back to you. There is somebody with a hand there when the chairperson is trying to summarize. I see T. Who is T? Tabiso Ndebele. Oh, it's officials. No, it's okay. You can respond if you allow me, acting DG. Let's start with Tabiso, then we'll end with him.
Thank you very much, Chair. What I wanted to add to what you were proposing or what you were questioning is that yes, there is a program already formulated for certain various groups. The three levers that you're going to be pulling this calendar year and into the next financial year is, number one, the pedestrian program. Already we have driven the adoption of a transversal indicator across all the provinces to focus on pedestrians. Then the second one is the issue of the drinking and driving that is aligned to curbing the instances of such. So it includes, it's in threefold. The first one is working with the DTIC in the response to government about the impact of alcohol. The second one, it is a collaboration with the private sector. And then the last one, it is us engaging with justice and expediting the issue of the reclassification and reclassification of traffic offenses, as well as dealing with court, with road traffic matters, having a dedicated court. Because the issue is, without any penalties, without any consequences, the behavior won't change. So that talks to that. And then the last one, then it is the third program for the year, which again is adopted by all the various provinces. It is the road safety program with various interest groups. And this is acknowledging that there are ongoing road safety activations across the country, but you want them to be aligned. So those are the three programs, Chairperson, I can talk to at this point in time to say there have been engagements. And in terms of implementation, some way has gone into actually having these being applicable to all the provinces and local government for the next upcoming financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Tabiso, thank you. If you could be amenable to sharing with the committee, we will really appreciate. Acting DG, Ubabu Madia.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the background that you have given on the issues which are valid that have been raised by the members. Chair, in our national, provincial, and municipality roads, I don't think it will be sustainable to put these signages for the anomalies that are taking place in terms of the state of our roads. I think what we need to do as a department, together with all the structures of government, is to make sure that we fix these potholes. And then we have roads that are user-friendly, that are safe for South Africans. That's the first thing. Secondly, if we take away the issue that you have raised, particularly on the grants that we allocate to the provincial government, I think we have realized as a department that we need to strengthen the oversight to make sure that as we disperse these monies, they are properly utilized. We have proposed to develop a PMU in the DDG's office responsible for roads to make sure that we physically do audits on the work that the provincial governments claim to have done. So as to what is it that we are doing now, I will. There is an event, Chair and the esteemed members, that I will allow the minister to make pronouncements on. But basically, the purpose of that event is to address the question that you have raised. We want an action and result-oriented outcome out of the discussions that we are going to have in the next 10 days or so, where all the structures of government, provincial municipalities, academia, our entities as a Department of Transport, we will have to engage to find solutions as to how do we address the issue. It should not be an academic discussion because we all know what is the state of our roads. But what we need to do is to go out there and have a proper practical plan that we commit to South Africans as government, particularly as a Department of Transport with our entities, to make sure that we address the issue. None of us are absolved from these challenges. We all come from different places. We all see the state of the affairs. And if you look at the track record, Chair, of SANRAL, one of our entities, in terms of the roads that they've maintained, they are fairly in a good state. Maybe we need, as one of the interventions, to give more powers the SANRAL entity to manage these roads beyond national and provincial to the level of municipalities, because it tells us that the capability, the capacity, the technical expertise, not only on the in-house staff, but in terms of managing the contractors, is of high quality. So we need to look at all those issues so that if the committee feels we need to come back and report, at least there's a tangible action plan that we'll be presenting to the committee. But in terms of what is it that we are going to do in the next 10 days, I think it would be appropriate that our minister discuss that issue with the committee. Thank you, Chair. I think the issue of the visibility of our NFOS officials, last week we had a discussion with the DPSA because we are trying to look at how then do we adjust our budget so that as we go to a 24/7 all 9 provinces, at least the issues of remuneration and other related matters in terms of our Labor Relations Act are addressed. That discussion is taking place, and because we are aiming to make sure that all our streets, whether it's during the day, afternoon, or in the middle of the night, there is a visibility of our law enforcement to make sure that we curb all these fatalities. Thank you, Chair.
Babu Madia, thank you very much. the ministry. Over to you, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, in whatever order you want to address us.
Thank you very much, Chair and members. I'm seeing indeed the data informs our 365 campaign, Honorable Ansinger, interventions, as well as other policy interventions we are considering. The trends that data paint assists us in channeling resources to where the most need is and ensures that our road safety program is clearly focused and emphasizes prevention. The 10% annual target is significant as a stepping stone towards the realization of the 25% target by 2025. McDonald, Honorable McDonald, as an integral part of strengthening our regulatory framework in relation to public transport, we are looking at a number of measures to address the significant number of illegal operations. This includes imposing a moratorium on issuing new operating licenses. This will enable us to address the proliferation of illegal operators as a result of a number of municipalities that do not have up-to-date integrated transport plans, which must guide the issuing of new operating licenses. This moratorium, Honorable McDonald, will only be lifted once these plans are in place and will allow us to rationalize the services and ensure that new human settlements are adequately serviced by public transport. We are also seriously looking at strengthening public transport law enforcement, which is the point that has also been emphasized by Honorable Manu when he basically talked about the issue of NTP through a standardized approach across the country. We are currently having a fragmented approach that differs from one province to the other. So the shareholder committee under the RTMC and the minister must and MECs must deal with this standardization, which will make it a point that we sing from the same hymn book across the country. And like we say, this will go a long way in addressing the challenge you are addressing, Honorable McDonald's, in your input. Honorable May, the 50 rand and the 25 rand in Tshwane are provincial roads that the Gauteng government is responsible for. However, we are consolidating our Siyamba Sonke program and accelerating our interventions to bring our collective capacity to bear in addressing the challenge of potholes, among others. You will have seen this past weekend the Gauteng Smart program led by the MEC of Transport, Jacob Mamabulu, where they are closing potholes. And there are many of such examples right in the city of Johannesburg with the private sector. Liberty Life, we launched a program of closing potholes that you just call this particular number and they arrive and they close the porthole in your street, wherever you are, just like that. Change of administration. I don't know whether that program is in place, but it happened just last year before local government election. We need a lot and quite innovative means to close potholes, particularly in regional roads. Because national roads, pristine, well attended to, 24/7. Big Brother is watching out there, SANRAL, proper work around the national road. You won't have a pothole for a day in the national road, and it will be closed just like that. We may be running short in terms of upgrading and building new roads because of the balance sheet of SANRAL as a result of a non-finalization of ETOS. That is our biggest Achilles heel. We are now going to consolidate our work because we want to bring about policy intervention in terms of the provinces. We give billions of rands to the provinces in a form of a grant for them to upgrade and maintain the roads. Chair, without making a blanket statement to the provinces, but it is quite clear, with the uproar and the cacophony of voices that comes out as a result of the non-fixing of roads at the regional level, that we need to devise an approach. And I will be the first to admit that I spent the 2 days, Chair, this past weekend, and among others, I was dealing with the question of roads branch of the Department of Transport. And my critique of the roads branch was that we are the center. We are the people who are supposed to be having a database and knowledge about the state of the roads. Our answers must not be political. They must demonstrate our ability of knowledge and expertise of road fixing and where it is the problem and how we are going to resolve it. Chair, we have not reached that. We have not reached that. We are giving you political answers as politicians here in this committee. And me, I'm a politician like you as an MP. I gave officials an opportunity to speak. You ask them. They give you political answers on a very technical and operational question about the state of roads in the country and what are we going to do to fix it. It's an operational question. It's a policy matter in relation to shifting the balance and making it a point that whilst we are a concurrent function ministry, but we dispatch money and the backstop with us in terms of roads in the country, when people complain about R555, and then I say to them that, no, it has got nothing to do, I'm busy with Sandra. They say, but why are you Minister of Transport? You don't know there are potholes in Zingi Zingi. You don't know there are potholes like Tito Mboweni says. Why do you call a conference? My biggest critic is Tito Mboweni, the former Minister of Finance, who left me with the problem of ETOs without resolving them. And every time we had to come to the table to resolve them, he had excuses. When he was Minister of Finance, I'm sitting here with a big headache of the ETOLs. I'm using money that I'm supposed to be using to fix the roads. You want answers from me, but you don't go deeper in terms of looking at the budget. You know, as lawmakers, that part of the money that is allocated to me, where it is going, is servicing the debt of the ETOLs, because we have done away with what? The important principle of user pay in relation to the ETOLs. And then the bond markets that are giving us resources to finance and show that our balance sheet is up to scratch are no longer ready to come to the party because of uncertainty on this particular matter. I'm sitting here with roads that are not going to be maintained in the next 10 years. You are probably going to grill the next minister. If I'm still there, I'll be the one. about the same problem. And probably the state of roads in this country would have deteriorated. The second phase of Gauteng road freeway program has come to an abrupt standstill. There's going to be congestion in this country in the next 5-10 years, starting from Gauteng. And there's going to be a biggest disaster you have never seen of these roads not being fixed and maintained because we don't have money to do that. So I'm not putting this on you. We are dealing with the matter. We are supposed to resolve it. And then I've promised you that we are resolving the matter of the ETOLs so that we are able to address this particular question in the long term, which will have dire consequences for this country. The same as we have had dire consequences of electricity, which is not a problem of yesterday. We identified that problem 10 years ago. That's why we went to Kusile and all of that, and it just collapsed and crumbling down on us, including state capture. But it's not something that we didn't envisage in our program of work. We did, and we did something about it. Whilst we had built those stations, it came to our knowledge at some point that they were not properly built. And we resolved the ETOs. We resolved the structure of the grant we give to the provinces. We've got control. We've got database that we're in charge of, and we're able to intervene within the concurrent function, because all what people are fighting for, they are fighting for this money, but they get this money. They allocate it for a road somewhere between Umtata and Engcobo to be built. And the service provider disappears with the money. They do nothing about it. And then they call SANRAL to take over the road. None of the roads in the Eastern Cape are taught. And they are beautiful, beautiful. You can go to East London and go to Port Elizabeth, Kavega, former Port Elizabeth, Kavega, without any hassles like before. It's pristine, proper. And then the premier there says, let's have a discussion about tolling the roads. I said, let's not go there, all right? Now, we're taking over some of the roads. We've got to build bridges and do all of those things. So I have said, everybody, let's come together, not to talk and verbose. Let's talk about a plan of action. I'm taking money from you. I'm going to allocate it. I'm centralizing this. Everybody agrees. Where are the challenges of roads in your province? What are priority roads? Which new roads are we building in your province? And let's call experts to help us. How do we deal with the program province by province, municipality by municipality, area by area of potholes, including creating jobs for our people to do this work that Honorable May is talking about? That is done by ordinary citizens out of patriotism, and probably because it also affects them. Lastly, on the issue of the accidents, we need a compact. This thing that government will do it alone, it's not going to happen. Government must do its part. We need technology. I was talking to my cousin and the CEO, who's not feeling well, by the way. He should have been here and been the one, but he's listening. I was talking to him and saying to him, Makosini, we keep repeating the same thing. And the Honorable Mangi talks about that. Visibility of law enforcement. Let's finalize the deal with the trade unions and have a traffic cop every corner in this country, 24/7. And then I said, I'm announcing statistics of accidents in this country every month, not only in festive season. But all the bouquet of interventions on this matter, in terms of the law, in terms of EBET operational, we must bring it, body cams for corrupt cops. When are we bringing those things to action? I've mandated the RTMC all time along to do this thing. Like you say to me here today that, Minister, go and do the following things. Simple things we must do. Law enforcement, but we must win our people to be with us. Motorists must be with us. Those who are not with us, majority, millions are with us. They are law abiding. They are on track. I meet them on the highways. A few that causes major accidents, we need to lock them up. They must feel the wrath of the law. You yourselves, you are supporting us in terms of amending the law. Let's move with speed. We don't see each other on ARTO. We are dealing with that. We are appealing it because to us, ARTO was equally important in terms of infringement. And at the same time, in terms of the number of accidents that have been caused on our roads, and then drivers are just going, you know, without any punishment. Because you know, you will be arrested for drink and driving, you'll be out on a bail and something. And the only time you'll go to jail is when you have killed people and you are charged with culpable homicide. That's the only time. But you can be arrested being drunk. As long as there is no jail term attached to drunk and driving and breaking the law like that, South Africans will just go on. And these are civilized people who own cars. We've got about more than 2 million vehicles, light vehicles on our roads, and they increase all the time, even in the times of COVID-19 and economic meltdown that we have inherited, you know, and so on, that we're dealing with now, but people still buy a lot of cars. I've addressed Honorable Manu, Lol Chungu, where we are raising the bar on improving our monitoring and implementation of intervention. Like I said, we are. I want, when I come back to the portfolio committee addressing this matter, I shouldn't be verbosing from 1996, one and the same thing. RTMC is here. My team is here from the DOT. The acting DG is here. You have heard for yourself what I say myself with the deputy minister in our own meetings. You will come to us and do an oversight, but I want to give you a different and a quality report, and which is measured by outcomes that you can see on the ground that there is work that has been done. Not just good on paper, but you must interact with people who know their job. It's like I'm telling you that I'm working as a pilot, and then I come tell you about the work of pilots, and I run short of that in terms of explaining to you what is happening in terms of my work. I need to tell you exactly what is happening and how am I dealing with the issue of the roads. I don't want to tell you about Siamba Sonke, which I'm implementing already now, but we need to address the quality of that Siamba Sonke. How municipalities close the potholes. Simple things that they're supposed to be doing, provinces. People have just been embezzling money and corruption all around. Honorable Shavangu, I've earlier indicated that we're intervening in supporting the provinces to address the portal challenge. And I've emphasized that also through Siamba Sonke. I need to make that evaluation in terms of this program. Quality-wise, are we making headways? Where are these potholes? Are they being closed? Because closing potholes is job creation. It's interlinked to our labor-intensive efforts to get young people particularly busy in the different provinces in this particular program. So we are getting into that space where we consolidate all the resources and at the same time energy and expertise. And then I'm definitely sure we should out of that give you what you have demanded. You are asking me, what is the plan of action on roads? What is the plan of action, bouquet of intervention on accident? You have also given me something to take over. It's not for the first time. Some of the things like Manu is talking about, it's not new. It's something that has been repeated. And we are here. So I believe in listening, going back, and taking some of the suggestions you are making, putting them in the pot, and then let us grant into action. And that is what I will be doing out of this portfolio committee, Chair. Thank you very much.
Chairperson.
Chair. I wish Chair. To chair, chair the meeting. Can we chair. Raise hands? Can we raise hands?
Like my Honorable Makosini does. Here's my hand, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Man.
Chair, I just wanted to hear the minister. I spoke about 50 rand and 20 rand in Tswane. I just wanted to, minister to clarify which rands is he talking about. thank you, Chair.
It is not 50 rand, it's R50 and R25.
No, I am rescuing you, my honorable minister. I heard you very well. You were talking about provincial roads that has some issues, challenges in terms of potholes, and you said R20 and R25. It was just a slippering of the tongue, and the honorable member is taking advantage of that. Thank you very much.
Z555. Thank you, Chair.
I want to say to the minister, the ministry, because the deputy minister is also here. This committee is committed in supporting the department to bring about changes. That is why you are raising these issues with all the humility that it deserves. We are encouraged that the minister is listening. We are also encouraged that the DG has said what he has said. If we can see some movement, extra movement on the issues that we have raised, we are together all the way. The issue of potholes was even raised by the president, President Ramaphosa. I think you have touched on it, Honorable Minister, that potholes should be closed at the most 48 hours or so. So I think we should be taken in that spirit. Otherwise, thank you very much, Minister, and your team. If you have other meetings, we are lately wanting to release you. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And that Honorable May, I see your hand is.
All I want to say, thanks to the Minister, I'll stay positive. Thank you.
Stay positive on behalf of all of us. Thank you very much. Can we now go to the second item? Valerie, there are submissions that we have in terms of deliberations on the economic regulation of transport bill. I've seen 12. I don't know if Valerie wants to say more on them. Valerie?
Okay, you are correct. Those 12 submissions were received mainly from regulators and industry representatives, and quite a few of those were made by stakeholders that originally submitted submissions on the bill when it was published last year. Members may recall that the committee in this second round published the additional proposed amendments to the bill for comment. on the 4th, those were received on the 4th of February, and Chair, it has been shared with the committee, yourself, the department, and our legal advisors to prepare responses. In terms of our program, Chair, the 22nd of February is now scheduled for the department to respond to those submissions that has been circulated to them already.
That is next week.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, Valerie. 12. I've gone through some of them, if not all. Honorable members, do you have anything to say? Can we be content with the issue that we will entertain this matter next week on the 22nd, when the department is giving responses and the process thereafter, Valerie will be asked to interact with the submissions. Am I correct?
Yeah, at the last meeting on the bill, members agreed to only deal with the written submissions and not to have hearings. If at some stage, Chairperson, the committee decide to call some of these stakeholders for verbal discussions, it will obviously depend on the committee, but for the rest of the program, after the 22nd of February, there is deliberations scheduled onwards, Chair, until the committee finalized the bill.
I just wanted that issue to be ventilated, that there will be deliberations immediately after the response by the department. Honorable members, can we close this matter with that understanding? Let me see hands. Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. You agree? Can I take it that the hand of the Honorable Mays is seconding that? Honorable May?
Yes, Chairperson.
I see your hand up. Are you seconding?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You may then lower your hand. Thank you very much. Honorable members, the third item is the minutes of the 25th of January. I've gone through the minutes. These are the minutes where we dealt with our planning session for the first term. These are the minutes where we dealt with the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill. We took it from clause 47 to clause 54, and we allowed the legal minds to go and draft the list of amendments. It was supposed to come back today, and the legal team has actually requested some more time. Am I correct, Valerie, that this will be dealt with on the 8th of March?
Okay, that is the 1st and the 8th of March.
The 1st of March and the 8th of March. Please indicate to the legal team that we may not be prepared to extend more than that, because we now have that understanding of the 1st and the 8th of March. And any proposal for the minutes to be adopted? Baba Ulisa Gomangu.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Jambase. Honorable McDonald.
I second, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. According to the agenda in front of me, this should be bringing us to the end of the meeting, except to say we are going to find space, myself and the administration, Valerie, on two items one of them you all members have already heard, that presentation of panel vents. I've gone through that presentation. We need to deal with it as a portfolio committee, and the calibration of aircraft accident. Those two items will find space in our program to dispense of, as we had agreed earlier on, so that we don't leave anything that we have agreed on behind. So I was just letting members know that those two items have not fallen within the cracks. Any other issue that I'm leaving behind, Valerie?
Chair, as I've indicated, the issue about the stakeholder engagements, if it's possible, Chair, that I can also speak to you out of the meeting, outside of the meeting about that.
Okay, sure. Otherwise, I wish to really thank members. There is one issue that was raised, and I think the department will take heed of it. The issue of the presentation that did not arrive on time. I have noted that Honorable Hun Sing, I don't think is an issue that has just been swept under the carpet. Valerie, let us be a bit strict on that issue. I don't want us to create issues where there are no issues. I know it's a departmental issue. Let's just notify them that we will want to have presentation on time so that we don't make issues where there are no issues or create issues where there are no issues. On a very lighter note, as I leave members to logically go back and engage fiercely in the National Assembly, in the debates, let me just request members, please, as we play our oversight, I can see that we are committed in playing oversight and raising issues and picking up issues. Let's not put ourselves in a situation that may otherwise be interpreted as we were not law-abiding citizens. I'm just humbly requesting that. I know members will understand which issue I'm raising. I think it suffices to raise that issue at that level. Otherwise, thank you very much for the good meeting. I wish you all the best for the rest of the day. Thank you very much. Until we meet again, long live.
Long live the chair, long live.
Tot ziens, collega.
Long live the chair.
Thank you very much. Tot ziens, goodbye. Thank you very much. Long live.
Kabar chilere, mzura shiduro bar chilere.
Kabar chilere.
Honorable Free State.